the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So a strong tower is not needed unless you're weak, unless you're in trouble, unless you're afraid. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, the name of you is not a strong tower. The name of your friend is not a strong tower. The name of Pastor Jim is not a strong tower. So you have to find out in life where you have troubles, where's your strong tower? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So put your confidence, put your trust, put your reliance not on one another, not on yourself, not on circumstances, not on this world, not on anything natural, not on anything natural. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. So you cannot rely upon anything other than God's promise. If you try to secure yourself in this world, if you try, let's say you're nervous and you're afraid and you're looking for something, it's just strong. You won't find it in this world, and you won't find it in yourself, and you won't find it in people. A lot of people are self-confident, relying upon themselves. They won't work. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. To say that is to say that's all you need in this world is the name of the Lord. You can call on the name of the Lord. You can put your trust in the Lord. You cannot trust yourself. Let's say that. I can't trust myself. I don't trust myself. I'm not trustworthy. Okay. You can't trust yourself, and you can't trust others. I don't trust other people. I don't trust Pastor Jim. I don't trust my parents. I don't trust my friends. I don't trust anything in this world. Okay, now you're on your way to health, because if you trust any of those things, you will be hurt, disappointed, confused, and end up wretched. So I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what my own experience teaches. Is that lean not to your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. Lean not to your own understanding, but put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. So trusting in princes, which is leaders, or trusting in man is folly. But put your trust in the Lord. Now, 90%, probably higher, 90% of the people in this world put their trust in other people. I think it's higher. But most people are looking for security in this world, something to secure themselves, feel good about themselves, feel comfortable in this world. And the more you experience life, the more uncomfortable you're going to become, because you can't trust in man. You can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in your reason. You can't trust in your conscience. You can't trust in your thoughts. You can't trust in your emotions. You can't trust in anything but the Lord. Now, if you're if you believe that this life has life in it, then you'll go after life. You try to find it, because you can't. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." So you can't find life in life. You can't find life in a bottle. You can't find life in pills. You can't find life in people. You can't find life in, you know, yoga. You can't find life in anything but the Lord. So the Lord has ruined this world for being God. It's not. Nothing in this world is reliable. Everything in this world is shaky. It's insecure. Why then does 90% of the people in this world look for security in this world, in themselves, in others, in circumstances? Why are most of their prayers, "Oh God, you know, I need a job right now"? You're trying to secure yourself in this world. "Oh God, I need a good marriage. Oh God, I need a friend. Oh God, I'm lonely. Oh God, you know." Those are all pathetic prayers which will never be answered by God. So people wonder, I guess God doesn't love me because he won't answer my prayer. What are you praying for? Are you praying to put your trust in some job or some person or yourself or whatever? Yes, because you think you're an innocent victim. If you knew you were not, why? You see, you're full of self-pity. Oh, poor me, I've tried so hard to be good. You're not innocent. I've tried so hard, Pastor, I really have. You're not innocent. You're guilty. What you need is certainty. Now, the only thing that'll bring certainty is the Word of God. The only thing that'll bring certainty, know for a surety, know for certain, know with absolute confidence. Do you have that? I do. Because when I'm believing in the Word, I'm believing in God's promise, not His command. I'm believing in His promise. A command would put weight on me, but a promise puts weight on God. I like promises because all the weight's on God. Either God's a liar or He tells the truth. Either He's a liar or He tells the truth. Either He's a liar, and the Bible says every man's a liar, every man, but God's the truth. He tells the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So you have two choices in this world. If you're innocent and you think you could be good or you should be good or you might be able to be good or other people might be good or there might be some good in this world, then you don't need God. Then rely on yourself, on others and circumstances. And that's where everybody gets in trouble because none of those things are true. Let's say you get married and you marry somebody and you rely on them. Ah, how foolish. Well, they made a promise. Yeah, but people don't keep promises. How many know that people don't keep promises? Within a few minutes or a few hours or a few months or a few years, people will realize this other person is not reliable. Well, who ever said they were? God said in the beginning, don't ever rely on people. Don't put your confidence in people. Don't put your trust in people. So it's your own foolishness. It's your own, you know, that you even believe that men could be good. That you even believe that people are any good. How many know people are no good? One, two, three. People, they're no good. How many know God's good? Yeah, God's good. Two people. Okay, very good. Three people. All right. Only God is good. Well, if that's the case, what you don't need is security. I mean, God would be your security. But you couldn't know that God is your security by experience. Because you might have a car accident. That didn't prove that God was security. The only thing that you have is this Bible right here. The certainty in this Word is all you have. Put your faith here. Put your trust here. Put your confidence here. This is the only thing that's secure is this book that God wrote. Now, he's either a liar or he tells the truth. If he tells the truth, then you can put all your confidence in this book. A lot of people say, well, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, but what do you believe? I believe the promises of God. Well, if you do, then you're happy. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. But I dare say that most people, even most Christians, do not trust in God or His Bible or His Word. They might read it, but they might reinterpret it. They might read it, but might reinterpret it. Because it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. But until you experience everything else in the world, you're probably not going to put your trust in the Lord. You'll be tempted. Has anyone ever been tempted to trust something other than God's Word? Yeah. You've been tempted to trust a friend. Your friends will betray you. Trust yourself. Is anybody tempted to trust yourself? Well, boy, I'm not going to... I'll tell you what, I'm never going to trust a person again. That's foolish. Of course you will. You'll get hurt over and over and over again. And even then, you'll be foolish enough to look for somebody else you could trust. Well, I couldn't trust that person, but I think this person will be okay. People aren't trustworthy. Has anybody discovered that in your life? You need to experience that. It's good for you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and pretend like God isn't God and you are or somebody else is. That's good. That's good for you. Taste that fruit and see how it works. How's it going? You like it? because sooner or later you're going to be disappointed with people and yourself. So God deliberately set the world up, deliberately designed the world to be imperfect, unreliable, insecure, uncertain. Has anybody experienced that? Well, you're learning. You're doing good. So that's the time to rejoice. That's a wonderful thing to experience, is that you're unreliable, other people are unreliable, circumstances don't come through, and you couldn't even know that God was any good unless you believed His Word. You can't, like, I'm going to put God to the trust, see if He's good. You can't put God to the trust. All you have is His promise right here. He said, for example, I'll never leave you or forsake you. How many know that people will? People will leave you. Let's say you had someone that was always trustworthy, but they died. Did you know that people die? I've known people to die. And they're good people, but they die. Or they move away. Or they lie. You know, people are not worthy and trustworthy. Or you could actually be married to such a person that was nice and good and so on and so forth, in your mind. And they turn. They change. They get mad at something you did. Because their love is not unconditional, it's always conditional. Well, I love you if you don't do this. Or I'll love you if. You know, loving you if is a condition. So God puts it clearly to you, and all your experience, everybody in this room, I could go to anybody in this room and get a testimony, and you trusted at some point something other than God. And then you were hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, and wanted to give up and quit. Maybe even kill yourself. But certainly, well, I'm sick of this world. It's your own fault. You thought you were an innocent victim. You thought that life made sense. How many think life ought to make sense? It doesn't make sense. There's no sense to this world. God never made the world sensibly. The world, in order for you to make it in this world, you have to have a God. You have to have a personal relationship with God. You have to have more than nature. You have to have more than your, you know, being alive. So God deliberately made the world not to work. Isn't that funny? It's like having a car but no key to it. You know, he deliberately made it and then withheld the puzzle, you know, the piece of the puzzle that makes it all come together. He just does that. So you have to rely upon God for happiness and joy and peace and love and for a happy life. Has anybody here found that key? Has anybody here found that piece of the puzzle that's missing? You have, Greg? Okay. Anyone else? Found the thing that lets you go through life happily, without a snare, without a hitch, without anything to throw you. So you can rejoice even in the difficulties, even in the problems. Because remember, He promised that in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. So why be so negative? Well, because you're going to run into it anyway. Why lie? Why not say what the Bible says, which is, all men are liars. But God is true. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Rely upon the Lord. He is a strong tower. You can always run into that tower. If you think you can be good, you sooner or later will get trampled on. If you think the person you're with could be good, you're going to be disappointed and hurt. You're going to be frustrated. Sooner or later, you'll need to run to His strong tower. You know, you can try a pill. If people don't work, try a pill. Okay? Try a new job. Buy a new dress. Get a bowl of ice cream out. You know, you can do all you want to find happiness or security or peace or, you know, quietness, because most people are bored. Most people are bored. And the reason that they do much of what they do is to stop the boredom. They're just basically quietly depressed. They're not like crazy. They're just like crazy because they're trying to find something interesting in life to keep them going, especially teenagers. Has anybody noticed that about teenagers? They're like, hey, what's going on, man? We're all down here. Where? You know, and wherever they are, there's something must be happening somewhere. And so they'll drive out or walk out or get out to wherever something's happening. And of course, nothing much happens. And if it does, it's usually bad. But they're looking for life in life. Teenagers are fools. Has anybody ever seen a teenager? They're fools. Because they imagine, you know, hey, I'm going to go out with the guys. I'm going to go out with, we're going to have a big gang. We're going to go down to whatever. and find some life. It won't be any life there. I remember once, I was not big into drinking, but I remember once all the pastors, these are pastors, all went down to LaGrange, Texas. How many know LaGrange, Texas? You ever heard of that? It's here in Texas. It's famous for something. But anyway, so they all went down there and they said, are you going down to Joe's or whatever the name of the drinking place was? Nah, I don't go. I never go. But this one time, they kept persuading me. Now, these are all the pastors in Texas and Louisiana, all of them gathered together in one of the churches. And they used to ask me, what are you going to do here all alone in the camp? You know, because there were hundreds of them. What are you going to do all alone? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. These are pastors. Why don't you come with us? Oh, what for? Well, we have a good time. Fellowship. So I went with them one time. And they got a big pitcher of beer, put it on the table, and everybody's laughing and joking, getting, you know, going to the bathroom a lot, and so on and so forth. I don't know. I never found the fun. It just, I never felt the warmth. You know, I mean, there's nothing to it. How many know what I'm talking about? You're not going to find life in life. You're not going to find life in this world. Like, we'll all be close together if we can all sin at once. If we can all do something naughty and bad and so on and so forth. I just never found it. So I went back to reading my book in the cabin. But that happened every year. Every year we would go down there. And we went there deliberately because it's a certain place. But you know what? I didn't experience that. It wasn't because I was moral and religious. It was that I don't like lying to myself. Hello? Most of what people do, every time you go to a party, we went to a party last night, right? Wasn't it last night? Yeah. Went to a party last night. Christians, I mean, they're all Christians. They have to have booze and everything. You don't want to make it go, because otherwise, you know, what are people going to do? Talk. What are they going to do? So that's the only way they know how to do it. So I was the only one who said, could I have some juice? Juice? We don't have any. The house was full of bottles of stuff and no juice. So finally the lady said, well, I got some pear juice. It's okay. I'm into juice. So I was the only one drinking pear juice. So put your trust in the Lord. The reason that I'm happy all the time, because I put my trust in the Lord. I don't trust myself. I don't trust other people. I don't trust this world. I don't trust anything in this world. Now, lots and lots of scriptures. These scriptures are good. Here's Luke 1:4. Here's what Luke writes in 1:4. Luke 1:4, write that down. That you may know about that which you were taught, the certainty of the words that you were taught. So, you see, the certainty of this word is what life is all about. The secret to the Reformation in the 16th century was the certainty of this word. In the Catholic Church, this word was not considered certain. And even if it were certain, the thing that Martin Luther discovered was the church's interpretation, the Roman Catholic Church's interpretation of the Bible. First of all, they didn't rely much on the Bible, but mostly they relied on church rituals. If you're a Catholic, you didn't read the Bible. In fact, I don't know if all Catholics can read the Bible now, but it's not been that many years. When I was growing up, Catholics could not read the Bible. They were not allowed to. It was a sin. You cannot read the Bible because you might misinterpret it and then fall into a sin. But anyway, Luther began to read the Bible because he was one of the teachers of the Bible, of the church. And he found this word didn't agree with the church. Did you know that sometimes the churches aren't built on the Bible? Sometimes they're built on human authority, human ideas. You know, like holy water. That's not in the Bible. Or like wearing a collar. I used to wear a collar. And everybody knew I was a pastor then. That's the only way they knew, because I had a collar on. And so you could get discounts at stores and, you know, parking spaces, so on and so forth. And, you know, it's really a helpful thing. But you know what? That's not in the Bible. Even the way our churches are set up, you know, with pews like this and stuff, it's not in the Bible. None of this is in the Bible. They didn't have these in the Bible. So much of our faith is built on the security that man made. Man-made security. But God's word is a strong tower. Because God's a strong tower. You can always run to God, and He will always love you unconditionally. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And it's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. And He's going to make sure, He's going to make certain that you are happy all the time. I'll tell you what, I am. I'm happy all the time. Is there anyone else here who's happy all the time? Anyone? I mean all the time. I'm always happy. Because I'm not scared of sin or of anything. I'm not scared because I've got a Jesus. And if I can't find any sin, He'll help me. If I can't find any sin, He'll help me to find it. And if I do find sin, He'll forgive me. And if He does forgive me and I accept His forgiveness, then He'll empower me. So whatever I need, holiness, mercy, power, love, whatever, God's a strong tower. God is my strong tower. That's why I'm the happiest person on the face of the earth. I don't know anyone happier than I am. Because I'm certain, absolutely certain, unshakably certain, that God is not a liar. He keeps covenant. Because of that, I've never faced a problem that was insurmountable. Every problem to me is not a problem at all. Most people, they hate problems. Most people hate problems. I love problems. I wouldn't be in business if it weren't for problems. I love problems, difficulties. Hello? You know, in other words, managing crisis is what my life is all about, and I just love it. I love insurmountable, impossible things, things that can't be done by men. Someone says, Pastor, I have cancer. Well, that's a problem. Well, I say it's not a problem. It's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. Well, let's call upon God. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's do something. I like problems. Pastor, our marriage stinks. It's not working. Good, I always say. Great. No, Pastor, I said it's not working. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I need help. Not praise the Lord. No, I say praise the Lord. Why? Because you are believing in this world. The reason it isn't working because you're a sinner. Do you know why your marriage doesn't work? Because you're a sinner. That's so simple. It's because you're wicked. How many know? No, Pastor, it's not my fault. Oh, I see. Whose fault is it? My husband or my wife or whatever. No. It's your fault. No. I'm the victim. Oh, you're the innocent victim and he's the guilty culprit. And that's good because I often bring them here to the church and then I try to ascertain to be certain about. Now, who's the bad one? Oh, you are. And usually the bad one will admit it, and the good one is confident that they are. But within a few minutes, I will have reversed roles. I will have reversed roles. Why? Because there is no such thing as an innocent person. And we're all guilty. So I won't make anybody innocent, but I'll make everybody guilty. Because if you're in a bad relationship, you're the other half. Well, when I married my husband, he deceived me. Really? Well, then you're guilty. Well, how am I guilty? He deceived me, I said. Oh, yeah. Well, did you ask Jesus if you should marry the person? And then they hesitate. Did Jesus tell you to marry this person? Well, I don't think so. Well, then you're guilty because you shouldn't have married him. Or if they say yes, then I say, then stop making noise and enjoy it. Because God doesn't make mistakes. So God didn't deceive you. So if you're deceived, you deceived yourself. If you're deceived, it's because you didn't trust God. So the innocent person is suddenly guilty. How many know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All. So there is no such thing as innocent people. Has anybody figured that out? Everybody's guilty. Everybody. We're always guilty. You've always got a log in your own eye. So it can never be your mate. It can never be your mother and father because they were dysfunctional. How many know that we all have dysfunctional parents? I mean, so what? Even if they look functional, they're not. They may be appearing to be functioning. That doesn't mean they are. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What a terrible pressure to be a parent and then have to be a good one. I never attempted to be a good parent. I never attempted to be a good husband. You can ask Peggy. I've never, ever tried to please her. Ever. And I've done a very good job of never trying to please her. I've always just been me. Do you see what an awful thing that is? If you're looking for a God. But I explained to her that I wasn't God. I put my picture on the refrigerator with Jesus' picture on the refrigerator, and then I had a little sign. This one's Jim. That way, she couldn't mix me up and think, well, you let me down. Am I God? Get with God. How many know if you trust in the Lord, you'll be happy? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Peg, don't trust in me, trust in God. You see, your problem is you thought I was God. Ah, big mistake. So, and I don't think Peggy is God. I don't think she's wonderful and nice or anything else. I don't want her to be wonderful and nice. Just be whatever she wants to be. And I don't want the church to be wonderful and nice. And I am so blessed because I have a church that isn't. I don't want one that is. I've never looked for a perfect church. If I got in it, I'd ruin it. I don't want a perfect church. Just let it be whatever it is. But I have a perfect God. Now that's what the story of the Bible is, and even though no one will argue with what I just said, because I have 100 scriptures for it. The truth is, no one actually believes what I just said. That there's no heaven here. This is, if you read the first book, the very first story in the Bible, it's the story of the Garden of Eden. Guess what? They were kicked out. So that was the end of that. I mean, innocence doesn't last very long. You know, when you're 2 or 3, it's pretty much over. How many know that little kids, yours is still under 2, right? So little kids are okay, they're innocent, because they don't know any better. But as soon as you get to be 2, all of a sudden they say no. Or a year and a half. Some kids are quicker than others to say no. They learn, you know, how many? 5 months. This one, see, that's a really fast baby right there. And they'll defy you. I don't know how they learn that word before they learn mama even. And Baba. You know, they learn right away to defy. Now, the sooner you become realistic and honest to yourself, God never said that you could be happy in this world. He always said, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. You got to go upstairs for that. And the only way you know that is through the certainty of this word. You cannot know anything about God without this word. Try as you may, you can't get the Holy Spirit to tell you apart from this word what's going on. You can't know God the Father, you can't know God the Son, you can't know God the Holy Spirit without this word. This word was written by God for you so that you could learn about God. But without the Holy Spirit interpreting this word, you won't know God. You'll know about Him, but you won't know Him. But most Christians don't even know about God. They didn't even know that He didn't promise happiness here. There isn't any happiness in this world. In the world you have trouble. Does that sound like happiness? Then he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he's talking to himself. He's saying, the only way you can find happiness in this world is don't look for it in people. Don't look for it in circumstances. Don't look for it in anything but God. And that's why I'm happy all the time. Because I don't believe people. I never believe people. I don't believe people. Even when they look at you straight in the face and say, no, I'm not lying. That's a sure sign, because they're saying it, that they usually do. Now, let me be honest. In other words, I've been dishonest all along, but let me be honest now. I think people are funny. Don't you think people are funny? They give themselves away in their words. So people, when they pretend to be good and great and reliable and honest, are lying. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, for something to be certain, for this word, this is the whole key to your life, right here. I'm only doing one thing tonight, talking about the certainty of this word. For this word to be certain, it has to be established by God. Now, if God gives this word and doesn't back it up, then it's not certain. It's just a fairy tale. It's just Santa Claus, Jack and the Beanstalk story. But if this word is true, then you can rely on it, you can bank on it, you can count on it, and it'll happen. And if it doesn't, throw it away. But I've found this word to be true. Norman, have you found this word to be true? It's amazing. I have found, for example, the Bible says, in this world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. Well, you can see right there, in this world, you have trouble. I discovered that. I caused some of it. I caused some of the trouble in this world. But other people also cause trouble in this world. But I'm going to be of good cheer. So I go, hallelujah. I did this for 3 years, by the way. Hallelujah. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel terrible and I'd go, God, I feel terrible today. But praise the Lord. And I just say it in faith. I didn't believe a word of it. I just said it because he said to say it. He said, say every day, God is good. God, you're good. But I didn't feel that. I didn't think that. I didn't understand that. I just said it. And for 3 years, I did that. Now, all of a sudden, it hit me. After 3 years, it hit me. And I had the revelation, God is good. I knew it. I knew that I'd never be afraid again. I knew that I would never worry again. Now, that's a miracle. I didn't make that happen. All I did was obeyed him, took him literally, and then something snapped inside of me one day, and I realized, you know what? I'll never be scared again. Psychologically, you could be scared, but not spiritually. And I knew right there, I got something that I know hardly anybody gets. I mean, I realized that. Wow, I stumbled on it just by reading the Bible literally. I said, this word is certain and true. Now, let me ask you a question. How many here have, when troubles come up, have started rejoicing? Just, hallelujah. You have? Praise God. Anyone else? When troubles come up, you just, hallelujah, thank you, God, instead of, oh, God, what do I do now? You see how depressing that was? Oh, God. Quick, God, help me. I never did that. God said, rejoice in it. I rejoiced in it. God, I love it that it stinks, that it's no good, it's not working out. But thanks be unto God. I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. I know this will work out for my good. I know it's working out wonderfully for my good. Even though it looks like the devil is winning, I know he's losing. And I'm winning, even though it looks like I'm losing. And I did that every day for 3 years. And all of a sudden, I knew it. I knew that I knew that I knew that never again, ever again will I be depressed. Ever again will I be scared. Will I be worried. How many know that you can conquer the devil? That's an overcomer. You can conquer him every day. The devil has never beaten me. I beat the devil every single time. I don't care what he does. Whatever he does, I can beat him. How? Because I believe God is good. I believe that God is great. I believe that God is a strong tower. I believe the promises of God that say, Jim, don't take yourself seriously. Don't worry about everything. I've taken care of everything. I am for you. I'm on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? And I don't have to understand that. I don't have to like that. I don't have to, you know, feel good about that. I just believe that. And your faith in God's word, which is certain, will overcome everything in this world. How many know that even faith overcomes this world? Do you have faith? Now, let's have a testimony of somebody before I even go on. So I want to make sure you're all with me. Who's tried this and it works? You just believe that this word is true and it cannot be shaken. It's unshakable. You have, Norman, you've tried it?
Believe that God is good and he comes out to be good.
Yeah. You know, and everything starts going your way and nobody can explain it. And when troubles come up, you just discount them. That's just another opportunity for God to do a miracle. You just go, hey, God, you know, whoever the president is and whoever the economy looks like and, you know, whatever society is going to the dogs and so on, I just ignore all that stuff. I totally turn my back on all problems. That doesn't mean I don't look at them. I look at them and I ask why focus on that. I look at a problem. It's not that I'm hiding myself. I look at the problem. Okay, I can see the husband's a beast or the economy's bad or whatever the thing is, and I just laugh at it. How many know that you can laugh when you have a God? You can laugh at everything in this world and not take it seriously. You take God seriously, you don't take yourself seriously. You take God seriously, you don't take other people seriously. You take God seriously, you don't take the economy seriously. You take God seriously, you don't take disease seriously. If you take God seriously, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll tell you what, you're secure. You're secure. So it's easy for me to be successful. I'm not at all trying to be successful. In fact, I just live in such a sloppy way that if anything could go wrong, it should, and it never does. Even when it appears to, I just laugh at it. I don't really care. That's confidence. What? In myself? No. In God's Word. I have the certainty of this Word. I don't secure myself in this world because I'm a guilty culprit, but I believe God loves me unconditionally, has paid for all my sins, will never leave me or forsake me, and to prove it, will give me His Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, protect me, and so on and so forth. Sure enough, everywhere I go, I see God's hand. Everybody I meet out to bless me. I just can't believe everybody I meet wants to bless me, but they do. That's God. You remember He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And what? Your cup will run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Here I am. He's spreading a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies are all looking around, trying to, you know, want to kill me or hurt me or maim me or do whatever they want to do. And I'm just munching on my Cheerios and, you know, I'm eating at the table of the Lord. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm not trying to defeat them or argue with them or put them down or whatever, because I don't have anything to prove. Most people I meet have something to prove. Unhappy are those people. But most Christians that I meet want to prove they have a ministry or, you know, how spiritual they are or whatever else. I don't have anything to prove. I don't need to prove anything. Everything's already been proven as far as I'm concerned. God says He loves me and I believe the Word. That's the end of the matter. I don't go any further than that. And you know what? Isn't this interesting? When you believe in God, you will never be disappointed. You will never be ashamed. God comes through every single time. I can almost hear the devil, he's in the room somewhere, I can almost hear the devil say, yeah, but what if this happens to you? Don't say that. Maybe something bad will happen. How many know it's going to happen this week for sure? Pastor Jim's going to have such a blow, I don't think he'll recover. Is there a fear in this room? Does anybody have that fear when he talks so boldly and so you have that confidence? Amen. Praise God. I love it. I love it. It's okay. Because you know what? When Peggy and I had kids, they told us, well, you just wait and see. They're okay now, but wait till they get two. Why? What's going to happen? Well, they call them the terrible twos. Okay. Well, I don't believe that. I don't think we'll have terrible twos. I think we'll have wonderful twos. So I just defied people. This is the whole church tells you that. Yeah, well, you wait. You'll see. Well, it never happened. Okay, well, you just wait till they become, you know, junior high age. So we waited. So I said, well, I don't believe that either. And then they became junior high age. Okay, well, you just wait till they're teenagers. So I don't believe that either. Well, they'll rebel on you. They'll do this and do that and so on and so forth. Well, I don't believe that. And then it didn't happen. My kids never did all the stuff that, you know, all their friends did. I would ask my kids, now, are all your friends doing thus and so? Yep. All of them? Yep. Well, why aren't you? I don't know. So my kids just didn't do it. So apparently, it must be related to the family, not to society. In fact, the whole school system that we were part of, Luke was there, the whole school system was doing all this stuff, and the parents would call me up and say, how come your kids aren't doing all that? We tried to get our kid not to do it, and so on and so forth. So I explained, you know, what we're doing, and so on and so forth. They're all Christians. But they were experiencing the same thing the world was experiencing, but we didn't experience it. Are we better parents? I don't think so. Were we smarter? Definitely not. Did we try harder? I don't think so. All I did was believe in the certainty of this Word. I just trusted my kids to God, put them up and say, hey, God, these are not my kids. They're your kids. You take care of them. I'll just spank them. I'll just tell them what to do and then spank them if they don't do it. And that's about it. And hug them and love them. That's about it. Nothing interesting, nothing great, but I did obey all the things God said. No stuff in the house that doesn't speak about Jesus. So clean the house out. No pictures on the wall or, you know, magazines or whatever else. Don't speak about Jesus. No music in the house except that which edifies. And, you know, I did that because it was based on Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. It said, whenever you sit in your house, you know, everything should speak about the Lord. So that's what we did. I didn't care if the neighbors liked it or if the kids liked it or anything else. That was the way it is in my house. Just that's the way it's going to be. So we didn't allow kids to frown in the house. For example, let's say a child would be disciplined, they might frown. I'd go and spank them. I didn't want any frowning in the house. When I walk in this house, I want all smiles. You know, so the kids, even though they'd be hypocrites, I didn't care. Just, you're not allowed to frown. they didn't care. Kids are very adaptable. Did you know that kids are adaptable? So if they'd get mad at one another, I'd stop them. Whoa! Stop! We don't do that. Well, that she did this and he did that. I don't care what they did. But you're going to do it this way. I want you to now hug your sister and say, I love you. I love you. No, wait. No, listen to the way I say it. I love you. And then they would say it, but they didn't want to say it. How many of you know kids don't like being hypocrites like that? But I forced them to be hypocrites. I said, okay, now you say you love your sister.
Love you.
No. You didn't listen to me. Now look right at my face here. Watch me do it. I love you, sister, and you're the best. And then they would do it, and they would start laughing every time. And they hated it because I made them say that. And I would always act everything out. Oh, no, you're misunderstanding me. I want you to say, you don't have to love them, just say you do. I don't care if you do, just say it. So I just made them hypocrites. You know what? No rebellion. No problem. My kids to this day still love each other. All four of them. They just love coming together. They love each other. Peggy doesn't like me to say this, but it's like heaven on earth for me. I don't even say anything. When they come around, they just yak. All my kids are talkers. They all want to out-talk one another. And Mom's right in there. She's right in there, too. I just sit there. I mean, I talk in church, but that's it. When I get home, I don't get to talk. Because there's all these other people talking. But it's fun. What a joy. It's heaven on earth. Marriage is heaven on earth. I have the absolute best wife for me. I have the absolute best wife. And I'm the absolute best husband for her. She deserves me. I think that's funny. I think God has a sense of humor. He gives me to Peggy to bless her. And he gave Peggy to me to bless me. Best helpmate ever. Of course, she doesn't do anything I say, but that doesn't mean anything. What means something is that God gave her to me. And that's something I believe because this word said God is the giver of good and perfect gifts. I believe God can't give me a bad gift. I don't believe that he can ever hurt me or harm me. I believe that God is totally for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Do you all see that? Now, because I believe that, the certainty of this word, that's the way I spoke, and that's the way I believed, and that's the way it was. And that's the way it was. So I just disregarded all facts to the contrary. I just totally ignore them. So if Peggy would say something to the contrary, I just disregard it. She can tell you that. She'd just say, well, I'm mad at you right now. And I just laugh. I go, you really look good right now. You look sweet, nice. Stop saying that, she would say. And I'd just say, remember, Peg, you're a mighty oak of righteousness. You know, I'm not. You know it. I tell you what, that's fun. And eventually she began to believe it. Why? Because this is certainty of the word. You see, if you speak honestly to people, you'll bind them. But if you speak the truth to people, you'll set them free. Did you know that God is good? And that only God is good? And that God is always good? And there's no darkness in God? There's no evil in God? So therefore, everything's always going my way. Always going my way. Why? Because God said he'd never leave me or forsake me. God said he'd be my strong, you know, right arm. He'd protect me. He'd undergird me. I don't worry. I'm not scared. Because God's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you, right? I don't think my religion. I talk it. I don't think my religion. I don't just put a thought in my head and go, yeah, I understand that thought. No, I speak it out loud. If God says something, immediately I put it in my mouth and I repeat it. God will never leave me or forsake me. And then I just talk right to him. God, you can't leave me. I didn't say it. You did. I'm holding you to it. And you can't forsake me. You've got to protect me. I'm yours. You bought me with a price. Now, you made an investment in me. I know you don't make bad investments. So I know I'll come out perfect. I know it'll come out just right. How many know that God's on your side? If God is for you, no one can be against you. I'm having a wonderful time. I used to live the other way, where I looked for security and happiness in this world. Now I don't look for anything. I don't look for anything in this world. Nothing. I don't want anything. I have everything. Say it, I have everything.
I have everything.
Because I have God. Did you know that with Christ Jesus, He freely gives you all things?
Amen.
I don't have to see it to believe it. I just simply know that when the right time comes, my Father in heaven will make it available. So if I don't see it today, it doesn't mean I don't have it. It's just that my Father hasn't given it to me yet because, for one reason or another, I don't need to know His reasons. I don't even care about His reasons. I have everything I want and more. I couldn't even want anything more. Are you as happy as I am, as full as I am, as rich as I am? Did you know that we are complete in Him?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you lack nothing? Do you know that someday you'll look back at your life and you'll realize, I lack nothing. Everything was there for me. I never missed a thing. Never. Do you all have this? Okay, let's have a couple people testify. Amen. Yeah, it's good. It's good. So you're not afraid. You don't have any fear. Because you trusted in this world, it turned hopeless, and then you just gave it all up and said, ah, God, too much for me. And I'll just put my trust in You, and you're free. It's powerful. It's powerful. Is God for you? No, who can be against you? Is Satan against you? You know, Satan is nothing. Satan is just God's Satan. Satan doesn't belong to Satan. He belongs to God. You know, even Satan has to ask permission. Can I trouble Jim? He has to ask if he can trouble me. Could I trouble Jim right now? Sure. Remember Job? Remember Satan had to ask Job permission of God. Can I tempt the guy or, you know, test him? Yeah, go ahead. You know, God just turned him over. Yeah, go ahead. Do all you can. How many know that when you test a person that belongs to God, and everybody does, and when you test them, what's going to happen? The flesh will burn and the spirit will be purified. That's all. So how can the devil do anything? The only thing he can do is touch the flesh. He can never touch. Remember God said, oh yeah, you can have him. You can have his health and his wealth and his relationships, but don't touch his life. That's mine. So the guy was living, but he was miserable because he had no health, no wealth. No, his wife kicked him out of the house and no relationships, but he just had faith in God. Yea, though thou slay me, yet I will trust in God. Do you have that? Have you learned that you can live this way on a daily basis and not just go to church and talk about it, but actually live it? One thing I go for every single day, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll never leave the prayer closet, never, without being absolutely, completely, 100% joyful. I'm not just talking spiritual. I mean, psychologically, I'm joyful. I'll battle the thing out until I get it. God, right now, I'm this and that, and I feel this, and I think that, and so on and so forth, and this is the way it appears. I remember when Obama was elected, you know, I went, oh my God, you know, the world's falling apart. We're all communists now or something, and you know, the whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, God said, whoa, 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 Jim, are you happy? Well, no, I was just telling you, I was complaining about the thing. I mean, it's all over. The Antichrist is, you know, right around the corner. And so on. So God said, are you rejoicing? Well, no. Well, you're wrong. What? What? What good could come of this? Look at it. You know, and I started, and God said, quiet. I'm going to teach you. He began to show me. Wow. I'm excited about Obama. Praise God for Obama. I pray for him. I bless him. I'm not scared of him. He's going to bless me. He's out to bless me. It doesn't matter what he wants to do. And look, already, I haven't followed it at all. Already, he's changing all of his things that he said. Why? Because he can't do a thing but what God wants him to do. He can't do a thing. So he can only bless me. The economy won't go down the drain and all that kind of stuff. Now, there will be a time when it's all darkness, but that only hurts your flesh. It doesn't hurt your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Antichrist was here. Then, by the way, he's not. But let's say he was here. Well, so what? What can he do but hurt your flesh? He can't hurt your spirit. So he can only bless you. God will never leave you. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord except during the Antichrist time. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't put a little asterisk on there. So everything is going my way. I could live in any relationship and flourish. Could you? That gives you a lot of confidence. Put me in any country, any time, you know, cut my arms out, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, I won't like it, but I will rejoice. I will rejoice until I actually mean it. I'll just keep being a hypocrite until I mean it. But I'll say the words over and over again. I'm the happiest person on the earth today. I'll just keep saying it until I actually get a hold of it. It doesn't matter if it takes an hour or a year or whatever. I'll get it. Why? Because I believe God is good. Do y'all have that? You have to try this out. I wouldn't try it out when they cut your arms off. I'd try it out with something small like your toaster doesn't burn, you know, something goes wrong, the doorbell's stuck or something. You know, try rejoicing when you have a little problem. How many know that if you're faithful in little things, you'll probably be faithful in something bigger? So trust God for the doorbell. God, you know the doorbell won't work. Well, that's a good place to start. God wants to prove himself to you in this world that he's the best God ever. Nobody else has a good God. Buddha's not a good God. The Hindu, that thing is no good. Muslim, phew, who wants to be one of those guys? I don't like all the other religions. They're lies. I like our religion. Our religion's the truth. Why? Because it goes against the flesh. Their religion goes with the flesh. They're just trying to get man to behave himself. Hypocrites. Our religion wants to actually transform you, change you. First spiritually, then psychologically, and then in your behavior. And the Holy Spirit does all that. This is the best religion. This is a religion that'll work because it starts with sinners and ends up with saints. But you got to be guilty. Otherwise, this one's not going to work. You can't think you have a little bit of goodness that you want to keep. Everything has to go. Everything has to go. Everything has to go. You have to turn your life completely over to God. Well, who's going to do that? I'll tell you who will do that. Someone that didn't. Tried to make life work on their own. And after a while, you learn. You know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I need to just surrender. How many know how to surrender? All you got to do is lift your arms and say, Jesus. And I couldn't do this. When I first started out, and they said, okay, raise your arms. I wouldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Come on, everybody, lift your hands to God. I would do everything. I wouldn't do it. But now I'm free because I finally learned what it is to surrender. I didn't think I could surrender. I thought I was too strong to surrender, too stubborn. You've thought that? Yeah. I just thought I'm way too strong, too smart, too whatever. I'm just not going to ever break. And God's not big enough to do it, and he's not going to make me do it, so I'm stuck. But the truth is that God is greater. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. I'm not looking for security in this world. I don't want it. I'm looking for certainty in the Word of God because I'm guilty. Guilty people need certainty. Innocent people want deliverance. They want security. I don't want it. I'm not looking for happiness. I don't need happiness. I know happiness is a byproduct. What I want is truth. If you get truth, you'll get happiness. So I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking for truth. What's true? If God be true, then I can rely upon him. Then I can know his word is certain. And I have no fears. That's what changed the Western world. And that's what will change you. So let's have another testimony. I love it. See if he'll come through. The guy might wait a few minutes, though. You know, you got to check him. He has a sense of humor. Okay, God, go ahead and do it. He won't do it for a few minutes. He's funny. Did you know God has a sense of humor? No, really. Did everybody know that? Remember the time he talked about the wineskin thing? It's just like a guy who has wineskins and he puts new wine in an old wineskin and then it bursts and it breaks. That was funny. I mean, that is like stupid. Nobody would do that. If you put fresh wine and it ferments and it's an old hard wine skin, it's all hardened up after being used. It's no longer soft and it won't expand. It'll burst the thing. Or he said, here's another one. What if a guy had an old garment, and then a rip took place in it, and he cut a little piece of cloth, and then he sewed the new piece of cloth on the old garment, and then he washed it, and it shrunk. It would pull the whole thing and rip the whole thing apart. That's funny. Here's another funny one, he said. It's like a camel that you're going to swallow the camel and strain out a gnat. I thought that was funny. Jesus is funny. That's funny. Can you just picture a guy swallowing a camel and straining out the gnats? Well, I didn't eat any gnats today, but he swallowed a whole camel. You see what Jesus is doing? He's making you laugh at how ridiculous you are. Because he's pointing out, that's what you all do. You think you're straining out something big, you're straining out nothing. You don't have any power to do anything. You can't fix anything. That's what he's saying. Stop it. Just let God do it. Give God a chance. Just let God do it. Because you're not able. I'll tell you what, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. Now, how many are going to rejoice no matter what? I mean, no matter what, you're just going to rejoice in God. God, your deal, you do it. I'm not helping. He doesn't want anyone to help him. Because you can't do perfect things. Amen?
Amen?
But here's what you can do. Just rejoice. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You get to work, God. You get to work now. I'm going to go to bed, and you can't slumber or sleep, but I can. Night. And let God take care of the world. Did you know that while you're sleeping at night, the devil could come and kill you, but he hasn't done it yet? Have you ever figured that out? How come if he's so powerful and he hates Christians so much, he hasn't killed you? Maybe it's because you're a phony. Maybe he doesn't see you as a real Christian. So he goes, no point in killing that one. They're not even a Christian. You see? But let's say you are a real Christian, and I'm sure most of you are. If you're a real Christian, where's his power? Why hasn't he done anything? If I were him, I would have killed me a long time ago, but he obviously has no power. I've even defied him. You can't do it. And even if he did it tonight, he didn't do it for 68 years. The guy's really slow. No. You see, the devil has no power. It's God's devil. He's on a little leash, and he has to get permission from God. God, can I hurt Jim? Yeah, you can try to, but you'll only bless him, because Jim will turn everything into a praise. Oh, is he going to do that? I won't even bother with him then. If the devil woke me up at night, I'd start reading the Bible, so the devil doesn't bother to wake me up. He knows I'll go and read the Bible. Well, praise God, I can't sleep. Good, I'll get to get up and read the Bible. And within a couple minutes, I'm sleeping. I'll tell you, have you ever found that out? You start reading the Bible, and you fall asleep right away. You watch television, you're okay. But you start reading the Bible, you'll get... I'm trying to read a whole page, and pretty soon, you know, I'm looking at one sentence about 10 times, and I still can't make out what it's saying. Oh. So I tell you what, I can beat the devil every time. Can you beat the devil? Who else? Come on, somebody say it. I can beat the devil too, Pastor. Who? Who can beat him every time? Greg? Amen. It's powerful. Because you know how to rejoice no matter what. No matter what. You can't lose because you've already won. Let's say it again. You cannot lose because you've already won. Why? Because Jesus is on your side. If God be for you, no one can be against you. So, the Lord is a strong tower. He is your confidence. He is your trust. He is the one that you put all your reliance on. And another thing about that, he's enduring. He never ends. He never goes out of business. The devil's rule will be over in a little while. Here's one, Jeremiah 50:34. Their redeemer is strong. Chazak. So that in the Hebrew, chazak. Chazak. Say it, chazak. That's the word strong. Chazak. Sounds strong. So, the Lord is your redeemer. He's strong. Your redeemer is strong. So when he wants to redeem you or purchase you or rescue or deliver you or take care of you, he's strong. No one can stop him. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Oz. O-Z. Okay, Proverbs 14:26. Here's another one. Exodus 3:12. Certainly,
There's certitude. There it is, right there. Certainly, I will be with you, so he'll never leave you. Certainly, you can count on this. Joshua 23:13. Know certainly that the Lord your God, and then he goes on and tells all things he's going to do. So you can know something with certainty. You know that nobody in this world can know anything with certainty. We went to a debate the other night with all the atheists and, you know, everybody's packed. It's packed. Will Rogers packed out to listen to these atheists debating evolution and intelligent design and creation and all this stuff. And they didn't know anything for certain. None of them. Because science can't know anything certainly. Can only know something probably. Probably. And even the ones that say, well, I don't believe in God, but I'm not sure there isn't one. I just don't believe in one. So even the atheists weren't that strong. And, you know, evolution is just a concept. I think it's a stupid one. But none of them said that. So they should have put me up there. Because I would have said it. I don't believe in any of this new species, and, you know, monkeys turning into people and, you know, common ancestors producing this and that. I don't believe in any of that. Have you ever got any proof of that? Got any pictures on that? Got any hard facts? Zero. None. Just a theory, concept, an idea, something to try to sort things out. It's not going to work because science can't go that far. Micah 6:2. Hear, all you strong foundations of the earth. So God is tempting or taunting the powers of the earth. Is that your strength? Strong? You're strong? You have confidence in yourself? And the wicked always have confidence in themselves. I used to be very confident, very certain, very arrogant. A lot of faith in myself. But God knocked that out of me, just like Janet. He knocked it out of me. I said, Jim, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to do thus and so. Okay.
That's true.
You were like that too?
Helping out.
Amen. You must have put that on Luke. Did you do that? Naughty. Shame on you. Oh my gosh. Your whole family's a mess. That's terrible. It's right here, right here. I love it. I love it. You know what? God is, if God be for you, nobody's against you. There isn't anybody out there. Let all the devils in hell try to be against me. They're nothing. Zero. Whew. You can blow them off. I mean, when Pharaoh and all the might of Egypt came after Moses, he couldn't subdue them. The mightiest army in the world can't subdue us. The Antichrist himself can't do anything but help us. Did you know that he can't at all spoil Jesus and his people? Do you know he's going to come after us, and all of a sudden the earth will open up and swallow him? Isn't that funny? Read the book of Revelation. The bad guy tries to get the good guy. Remember the woman and her seed? And they're running, and they try to run away, and all of a sudden the beast is just ready to grab her. Boom, and the earth opens up and swallows the guy. I think that's funny. That is funny. That's like a bad dream. You know, you're kind of frightened and trying to run away, and all of a sudden the thing is all over with. What happened to the bad guy? He got swallowed up by the earth. How many know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And he can make the earth swallow up all the bad guys. That's nothing. Everything is for me. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Did you hear that? All, even the wicked. All things work together for the Lord, for the good, for those that love the Lord. All. That's amazing. Everything is working on my side. Wow. Do y'all have that attitude? I don't know how you can even sit in your pew. That is so exciting to me. Everything is working on behalf of me. Everything. And the only reason things don't look good is because I've been doing it on my own. Just quit. Stop it. Let it go. Let it go. Stop helping God. That's like little kids helping you with the dishes. You know, maybe at Thanksgiving time you get out your best china and the little kid says, Mom, I'll help. And they get one of the plates and no, sweetie, don't help. You know, because that little kid's going to break that little plate. You know, I got two of them here, Mom. You know, bang, bang. You know, so don't help out. How many know you cannot help? You are not good help.
That's
Yeah.
Trying not to help.
Please don't help. Don't help, because it won't help. Have you ever tried to help somebody and it doesn't help? The more you try to help people, the more you hurt them. Just leave them alone. Stop being good. You're no good. Stop pretending like you're a nice person. You're not any nice person. God's nice. God's good. God's great. God's glorious. So don't help out. Do not help people. Why? Because it never helps. Never. I remember the people I used to spend the most time with to counsel them, you know, maybe they're having troubles, and I'd waste time, I mean all kinds of time, listening to them, talking to them, holding their hand, go to their house, you know, all this stuff. They never did get help, and if they did, they left the church. So that was just a waste. Whereas the other people, I didn't hardly ever talk to them. I didn't even learn their name or anything. And those people thank me to this day. I'll tell you, it doesn't, you can't figure it. You just can't figure it. One day a doctor, you know, he'd been here, I don't know, 10, 12 times. He'd been here, and years ago. And he was driving along the highway, and all of a sudden, the guy told him, by Pastor Jim, he was going to go buy a new Lincoln. And he heard God say, buy Pastor Jim a new car. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't even hardly know the guy. And all of a sudden, he was driving on the road, and I think he was listening to one of my tapes in his car as he was going to buy a new car. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you know, buy Pastor Jim a Lincoln. That's how I got that Lincoln out there. And he called me up, and he said, you need a new car. And I said, no, I don't. He said, yeah, you do. The Lord just told me you need a new car. I said, well, I don't want one. I've already got two. I'm fine. It took him 3 months to convince me that God had spoken to him. I said, I don't think he did. I think you're just trying to, you know, do something or other. Put me in bondage or something. He said, no, really, this is God. I said, well, go check with him again. See what color he wants to give me. If it's really God, because I don't need anything. I'm fine. He said, no, God wants you to have this car. And I'm so glad, because it's really been a blessing, incredible blessing. Been a blessing to me. Because you can sit in that thing, it's leather and all that stuff, and you can drive halfway across the country, maybe all the way across the country, and not even be tired. It's amazing. It's so comfortable. Whereas the little things we were driving, you just go across town and you're already beat up. And so it's been, you know, it's been a blessing. And I've picked up, all kinds of ambassadors and whatnot in the car, because it's a Lincoln, you know. And it's kind of fun. I've had a lot of fun. But that guy heard God, but I didn't want one. I didn't want anyone to give me anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in bondage to somebody, because they probably check on and see if I got a dent in it or something. Hello? Because I'm not much of a car taking care of person. I just turn the key on. If it works, it works. And then, you know, when it doesn't work anymore, I get rid of it. Just leave it in the driveway. Really, I just leave it in the driveway. We had a Mitsubishi there. That's the one you blew up, I think. That Mitsubishi, it just sat there for 2 years, just one day. I mean, it worked perfectly. And just one day, I just turned it off and got in the Lincoln. And that was it. And then we just left it. And then somebody came along and bought it for a few hundred dollars or something. No, I think I gave it away. Anyway, God's good. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. How many know that you cannot defend yourself? You cannot explain yourself. You cannot communicate with people. You cannot communicate. Talk to God. He's the only one you can talk to, and He will understand you even without words. God will understand you because He loves you. Peggy and I do not communicate. I mean, we don't. We don't communicate. But Peggy still tries. But, you know, I just asked Jesus, what's she saying? And he just says, just tell her you love her. I love you, Peg. I have no idea what she's talking about. Peg, this has been 4 hours we're talking about this subject, and I have no idea what you're talking about. Didn't I settle this the first sentence out of my mouth? You know, and maybe sometimes it's 7 hours later. Peg, are we done with this subject yet? And she'll go, yeah, pretty much. And I'll go, well, we ended up the way we began. Remember I said in the beginning this? No. Well, it was 7 hours ago, and I remember what I said. And then it dawned on me. Oh, wait a minute. I know what it is. You didn't really want to talk about that subject. You just wanted to have me pay attention to you. And she looked blank, and then she went, And I said, why didn't you say so? Why didn't you just say, pay attention to me? You haven't been paying attention. He said, because you wouldn't have. And I went, you're right. So you tricked me. You are very clever. So she asked me a question that, you know, like, what do you want to ask that for? So you can't communicate with your mate. You don't communicate with people. God, when you hear this message, you have to ask God what I just said. You can't just go by what I said. You don't know that what I said was from God or not. You have to ask him, God, is what he said from you? Should I be rejoicing at all times and in all places? Is that really a word from the Holy Spirit to me tonight? That I will never again be depressed. I will never again be worried. I will never again be anxious. I will rejoice in God at all times. I'm putting all my confidence and trust in the Lord. If that's a word from God to me personally tonight, then speak that to me. That's the only way you can communicate. That's the only way you can communicate. Does anybody hear that tonight? Pastor, I think that word you're speaking is from God for me. Is anybody? 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 One, two, three? Anyone else? Al? To rejoice always. Don't ask so many questions. One thing with God, he doesn't talk a lot. First of all, he wrote a book already, so it's pretty much in the book. But second of all, he doesn't talk a lot. God just wants you to be happy all the time. He just wants you to always rejoice. Don't think your brains are smart. They're not. You don't know anything. Here, God wants to teach you. He said, you know, be instructed by me. Just let God teach you. Who had their hand up? Somebody. I tell you, everybody in this room probably believes that what God said is true. But you've heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but you haven't experienced him with your eyes. You haven't seen with your own eyes that when God says something, it's the truth. You got to have that personal experience, personal, intimate, just between you and God, where when you pray to God based on his promise, it's going to happen. How many believe that? When you pray to God, God, this is my prayer, based on your promise, God is going to answer you right early. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Let's see, here's another one. 1 Kings 2:37. You shall know for certain. That word is yada. Have you ever heard people say yada, 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 yada? You ever heard them say that? Yada, yada, yada. That word is for certain, for certain, for certain. That's what that means. Yada, yada, yada means what God has written in his book is absolutely something you could know in your own experience that this is true. You can have that certainty inside of you. I wish tonight everybody would give up security and would take certainty. If you want security, you think you're a victim. But if you want certainty, you know you're guilty. There's the proof right there. You can tell right away. What do you want? You want security? You think you're a victim. You want certainty? You know you're guilty. The latter is the right one. Forget the former, take the latter. Forget the former, take the latter. Change your life. Change your life. Don't look for security. Uncertain times, David? No problem. Don't look for security. Look for certainty in the Word. We're guilty. I just need to know if you love me. I just need to know if you'll forgive me. I know you'll take care of me. If you'll do that, I know you'll take care of the rest. That's all. All God wants to do is give you the certainty of this Word. This Word is true. You can build your life on this Word. I have. If this Word is a lie, I'm sunk. I'm in deep trouble. But no worse than I was before. But if this Word is true, everybody else is in deep trouble, and I'm in good shape. And God wrote this Word for me, a guilty sinner, so that I might be justified with God, that I might find peace with God, that I might be successful in everything I do, wherever I put my foot, wherever I put my foot, wherever I put my hand, it's going to prosper. Did you all have that? Has anybody here experienced that? But you got to meet the conditions that are in here. There are conditions in here. Here's the condition. Don't do anything. Let God do it all. You just simply speak what God has said. Say the same thing he has said. Say the same thing he has said. Homo logeo. Homo means same. Logeo means speak. So, and it means speak intelligently. Say the same thing that God says intelligently. Homo logeo. It means confess. That's the word for confess. Confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. I believe in my heart that God is for me. I believe in my heart everything is going my way. I don't believe anything is going against me. I don't believe there's any power out there that is strong enough to destroy me. Can't. Because you'd have to defeat God before he could destroy me. If you could destroy me, then you could defeat God. But you cannot. That I'm certain. I'm certain that I'm safe. I'm happy. I tell you, to be happy like that is amazing. Amen. Wouldn't it be exciting if during a bad economy like it is right now, it's going to stay that way for a while, in a bad economy, you flourished. When everyone says, well, how are you going to make it now? And you say, well, the Lord knows how to prepare a table in the wilderness. When things look bad, that doesn't mean anything because God's still in charge. And how many know that God can find his kids? He knows where his kids are. Every parent, you can look at a whole school full of kids and every parent can find their kids. So that's mine right there. God knows exactly where his kids are. And if you're praising him and if you're happy with him, what's going to happen? You have the certainty that God can't leave you. He can't forsake you. He can't abandon you. He can't harm you. He can't let anyone else harm you because you belong to him. He loves you. He doesn't love Jesus more than you. He loves you equal to Jesus. You're his favorite. How many times was Jesus nervous? How many times was Jesus scared? Father, I'm scared. Never. You say, well, when he was dying on the cross, he said, God, you've forsaken me. No, he didn't. He was quoting Psalm 22, just before 23. And that psalm is the first word of the psalm, and every dying Jew said that. They said those things. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But keep reading that psalm and find out it's a very positive psalm about God taking care of you. It's one of the most powerful psalms in the Bible. And so Jesus was quoting the first verse, because when you're dying, you don't have a lot of time to quote the whole thing. So the Jews, being economical, they just simply quoted the first verse to indicate the whole book. And you know what it says? It's all about the crucifixion. It's a perfect description. I mean, you couldn't have a more perfect description of his crucifixion. Read it. Psalm 22, 2-2. Powerful. It's a very positive, wondrous psalm about how God protects his children no matter what. So Jesus wasn't scared. He wasn't really saying, you've abandoned me or you've forsaken me, because God said these words in another place. For a brief moment, I forsook you, but with everlasting compassion, I will draw you to myself again. Jesus died for a brief moment. God turned his back while he died, and then immediately he raised him up from the dead a couple of days later, and Jesus was able to complete and finish the work that God gave him to do. He wasn't at all scared. He wasn't at all nervous. He read the whole script. I've read the script. We win. You are his beloved. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If it is, you're going to be kings. You're going to be priests. You're going to be blessed. It's good. So God's encouraging you. Don't doubt the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that's watching over you. And he never fails. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You've already succeeded. It's already done. In heaven, there is no time. It's already over. It's already finished. You can read the last page of the book to find out that we do win. But meanwhile, while you're living through it, don't be nervous, because you do win. And the devil loses. And he always loses. And not only that, Satan has never won even one time. Remember the one time that it looked like he won, where he beat Jesus? That was Jesus' biggest victory. The day that he killed Jesus was actually what Jesus knew was going to happen and what his Father had prepared for him. And he just used the devil so that Jesus could be our salvation. So that wasn't bad news for Jesus or for us, because he was the Savior and that's the only way he could do it. And we needed to be saved. That was the only way he could do it. So Jesus gladly did that. So that was his best day. In fact, he sang a song that night that said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That's amazing. That's what he sang. That was the hymn that he sang when he went out on the Mount of Olives. He sang the Hallel, Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, and 118. It's in 118. That is the most powerful. Just read that psalm sometime. It'll bless you. All those psalms tell how everything that's happening that night on Good Friday, everything that's happening is in our favor. It's all to bless us. So Jesus gladly did that. Everything in this world, whether you see it or not, whether you know it or not, you can be certain of one thing. It's all for you. Everything is for you. To be happy every minute of every second of every day. Is there anyone else as happy as me? Anyone? As happy as I am? Greg? Yeah? Mark? Anyone else? Yeah? Janet? Are you sure? Yahoo! Anyone else? Norman? Anyone else? Happy as I am. It's pretty big. It's pretty big to be happy as I am. Free. I'll tell you, I'm totally free. Why? Because I don't have to please anybody. I don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. I'll tell you, when somebody's done it all you have left is thank you. All you have left is praise. All you have left is worship, adoration for who God is. Let's close in prayer.